out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game!
Welcome to a game day edition of CBJ in 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union.
Tonight we got our fans with us.
Hear from the players and coaches as the Blue Jackets get set to hit the ice.
The only thing you can control is when you shower tonight and you look yourself in the mirror, you're going to say, you have to be able to say to yourself, I gave everything I had tonight for my teammates. And if you can't say that, shame on you.
Here's your host, Bob McGallagher.
Oh, we can
You know, sometimes it just works out where there's a song that's stuck in your head and you want to hear it and you want to use it, and then it just makes sense for the show. And that is the case today. The Blue Jackets are taking off and they're headed up, up and away. Might not be in a beautiful balloon, but it's close enough. Welcome to CBJ in 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. I'm Bob McElligott. So that group is The Fifth Dimension, which features Marilyn McCoo. I don't remember her for that. I remember her for being one of the hosts on the old show Solid Gold. Now, if you are of a particular age group, you'll remember that show. That was a Saturday night show. It was a music show. It was about the top hits in the country that went on every week. They kind of reviewed things. They had the Solid Gold dancers. But Marilyn McCoo was one of the hosts on that show, off and on for quite a while, to be honest. Dionne Warwick was another one that was a host of that show. But I remember, as a kid, Saturday nights, it ran the spectrum when it came to TV, especially in the summertime when we were at my great-grandparents' cottage, because in some form, and I think it went this way, would start off with the Lawrence Welk show, move on to Hee Haw, and then we were allowed to watch Solid Gold. So that was like from 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. That was the way it went. And then by 9 o'clock, they were out having a bonfire and singing and all that stuff. So anyway, that's my story. You don't need to go that far back in the past. I don't either. I just want to go back to last night, because what a win it was for the Blue Jackets over the Colorado Avalanche. An overtime win. It looked like they had this game wrapped up in the third period. They were up 4-2. The Blue Jackets were. But the Avalanche rallied. They tied it. And it went to overtime. But the Blue Jackets did take care of business in overtime, as they have been doing throughout the course of the year. They're now 13-5 beyond regulation. That's an amazing number, quite frankly. But they excel in the 3-on-3. They've only lost in 3-on-3 one time this year. So it was another good win for the Blue Jackets. They found a way to get that third straight win. We talked about that yesterday. That has been elusive. Hasn't been done since late November, where the Blue Jackets were able to get three or more wins in a row. Well, now they get that third win in a row, and they get a chance to add to it tonight when the Detroit Red Wings come to town. But there were so many good things about that game. It started off badly, quite frankly, where the Avalanche wound up with a couple of goals. The first one looked like there was goaltender interference. In fact, there was goaltender interference. I'm just going to say it. There was contact between one of the Colorado forwards and goaltender Jonas Korpisalo. That contact prevented him from being able to make the save. Now, by definition, you would think that when they review that goal, that they would see that contact and they would say that it's no goal. But here's the thing. There is, within the rule, if the forward gets pushed into the goaltender by his own defenseman, then all of that is off the board. Then it's a clean play. Even though there's contact, if it was your defenseman that pushed the opposing forward into you, then it's a clean play and it all counts. And I am guessing that's what the ruling was. But there's the problem. I have to guess. And that's what drives me absolutely crazy. And I'm just going to start this off today by getting on my soapbox about that. So you have this situation where a goal is scored, and then the coach challenges for goaltender interference. They put the replays on the scoreboard. You can see there is clear contact. You can see that Corposalo can't get to the puck. And if you are a novice fan, you're thinking, well, then there's no way that this goal is going to count. They'll take it off the board. And then all of a sudden, the referee, after reviewing it, comes back out, turns on his microphone, and says, upon further review, the call on the ice is confirmed. That's a good goal. And that's all he says. And again, this is what drives me absolutely crazy. Actually, that just drives me crazy. Let me tell you what drives me absolutely crazy. After the call on the ice, the protocol is there is an email that is sent out from the NHL Situation Room to describe what just happened. So there is further information for us as we broadcast the game to go back and draw upon. Let me read you the email that came from the NHL Situation Room after that last night. And it says, at 6:55 of the first period in the Avalanche Blue Jackets game, Columbus requested a coach's challenge to review whether Colorado's Tyson Jost interfered with goaltender Jonas Corposalo prior to Tyson Barrie's goal. After reviewing all available replays and consulting with NHL hockey operations staff, the referee confirmed no goaltender interference infractions occurred. Therefore, the original call stands, good goal, Colorado Avalanche. Since the coach's challenge did not result in the original call being overturned, the Columbus Blue Jackets forfeit their timeout. So what does that tell me? Absolutely, positively, nothing. Nothing. Why was there not goaltender interference when there was clearly contact between the two? Why was there no interference called? And I'm telling you, it's because they ruled that the defenseman pushed the forward into the goaltender. But they never said that. It has not been clarified. And this is what drives me absolutely crazy about this league, because there are so many rules that have so many little twists and turns, and this is just one of them. And you're trying to cultivate new fans all the time. And even the older fans don't know what the heck is going on with all of this stuff. But as you're trying to cultivate new fans, you want to make it clear what is going on. The referee needs to turn on that microphone, and he needs to say, upon further review, there was contact with the goaltender, but the forward was pushed into the goaltender by his own defenseman. Therefore, by rule, there is no goaltender interference, and the goal stands. That's it. That's it. That's all you need to tell the thousands that are in the building. That's all you need to tell all of those that are watching on television, all of those that are listening on radio. That's all. Because then people go, oh, okay. So if you force the guy into your own goaltender, then, okay, then it's still a live play. I get it. But what happens with this stuff is, whether you're a new fan or an old fan, doesn't matter. You're walking away going, I still don't get it. There was clear contact. The guy lost his stick in this whole thing. The goaltender couldn't use his stick. He couldn't lunge to get the puck. Nothing. There has got to be a better system. Okay, they've got the review system worked out. They've got all those people in the Situation Room up at the Air Canada Center in Toronto. They're watching this stuff. They have it covered. The part that they don't ever cover enough, and sometimes they do it and it surprises me, but more often than not, it's this result. Explain what is going on. You're trying to cultivate new fans. Let them understand the game. If they don't understand what's going on, if there's any more confusion, it's just driving them away. And again, the gold standard is already set. The National Football League set the gold standard for all of this stuff when they started miking referees years ago. They explain what's going on. You might not always like the explanation, but they do go through it. Now, I was told way, way, way long time ago that, you know, the NHL was, they were skeptical about the referees getting on the microphone and, you know, saying exactly what was being looked for on a replay or stuff like that. They were afraid the referees would announce it wrong and then they would look bad. Okay, well, what is this? The referee announced something bland, and then you sent out something that doesn't clarify anything more. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Explain the rules. Because let me tell you something. If you can't explain your own rules, then you shouldn't have those rules. So come up with a better system. This is a plea to the National Hockey League to get better, with this. And again, sometimes they do. But more than not, this is the kind of junk that you get that doesn't tell you a thing. That leaves me to speculate. Now, here I am sitting on the air last night saying, well, the only thing that it could have been is that David Savard pushed him into Jonas Korpisalo. But why is it not spelled out clearly for me? Why is it not in black and white? Why is it totally a gray area the entire way through? It drives me nuts, in case you can't tell. All right, let me climb down off my soapbox and continue. So the Avalanche gets that first goal. It gets reviewed, counts, 1-0. Then, right off the faceoff, 12 seconds later, they come down and score again. And then you got to be thinking, oh boy, this could be one of those nights. It's now 2-0. But thankfully, about 30 seconds later, Boone Jenner and Alexander Wenberg changed all of that. They were the beneficiaries from two of the Colorado Avalanche defensemen colliding with one another and going down in a heap. And Alexander Wenberg coming up and finding a puck in the left wing circle. Let me tell you something. Thankfully, he found it on a second chance. Because if he gets to that puck cleanly, I think he's going to pass it. Because he's got Thomas Vanek down near the net. But Tyson Barry, who was one of the defensemen that had fallen down, was laying on the ice with his stick outstretched, and he had that stick in the passing lane. It would have had to be a saucer pass. It would have had to be lifted off the ice and dropped onto the stick of Thomas Vanek for it to even get across. And you know how much Wenberg loves to pass. And I don't think he would have gotten that pass through. But he overskates the puck a little bit. Now he has to readjust. And Boone Jenner was behind him. And Boone Jenner, who constantly drives the net and doesn't put on the brakes, actually put the brakes on near the hash mark. And Wenberg found him, gave it to Jenner. Boone buries it. All of a sudden, it's a 2-1 game, and the momentum switches immediately. 2-1. And the Blue Jackets are right back in it. And then they get into the second period, and before that's all said and done, there are three goals that are put on the board, two of them by Thomas Vanek. His first two as a member of the Blue Jackets. And all, we'll get to that part later. I have plenty to say about that as well. Two by Vanek, 4-2 lead. Blue Jackets are cruising. They get late in the third period, later in the third period. Avalanche gets a power play. Brandon Dubinsky goes off for a penalty. Avalanche gets a power play. Blue Jackets are killing it expertly. They've got a minute and 50 seconds killed, and all of a sudden they have a little bit of a defensive breakdown inside of their own zone. And actually, they're trying to make a play. Colorado's making a pass. It glances off the skate of Nick Foligno. And he's trying to readjust to reach out and get it again, but he can't get there in time because of the deflection. He's trying to react, couldn't get there. The puck's going across. Korpisalo's tracking it, but after it goes off the skate, it changes the velocity of the puck. Now his read's off. Gabriel Landeskog is standing there in the right wing circle just waiting for this puck. And he takes a one-timer and he puts it in the net. And all of a sudden, it's 4-3. 11 seconds were left on that power play, 4-3. And now Colorado feels like they're back in it. And don't forget, they needed the points last night. They were sitting just outside the second wild card spot in the Western Conference. They needed those points. So it's 4-3. And then the Avalanche comes down, gets another great push. And they get a goal off the wall. It's a good goal that they are able to get because they've got traffic. And they've got former Blue Jacket Blake Como cutting in front of Jonas Korpisalo just as the puck is being shot off a carom that came off the left wing boards. And Korpisalo never sees it, and it goes in the net. Now it's 4-4. But the Blue Jackets, to their credit, they did not waver. They were not shaken. They just went to overtime. They got themselves the guaranteed 1 point. And they know where they are in the standings, too. They know Florida's breathing down their necks. They know that they're 3 points behind New Jersey at the end of the night. They knew the Devils were playing last night. They knew there were opportunities. And they just got into overtime. Colorado got some early pushes. Korpisalo made some saves. And then the Blue Jackets come down the ice. Pierre-Luc Dubois does a great job of maintaining control of the puck and really just powering his way toward the front of the net. He actually loses the puck as he's going to make a pass anyway. But fortunately, it goes right to the man he wanted it to, Seth Jones. He buries it. Game over. Blue Jackets win it in overtime 5-4. They secure that second point, and they extend their win streak. It's now officially a streak to 3 games in a row. So it's a big win for the Blue Jackets last night. Now let's get to the Thomas Vanek part, because all I've been hearing from many of you is that Thomas Vanek was not the pickup that he was supposed to be at the trade deadline. Jody Shelley and I on the Inside Edge on Wednesday night taking calls, and I asked, who do you think is, you know, the best pickup at the trade deadline? And Ian Cole was the easy winner of that, because he's done so many good things. People are complaining about Vanek, and I kind of mocked it during the game last night. I said, you know, everybody that said, well, I don't know why they picked up Thomas Vanek. This guy hasn't done anything. He looks slow. He makes bad passes. He turns the puck over. I don't think this guy's going to help us at all. Well, he got 2 goals. He almost had 3 last night, which means that those same people today would tell me, you know, picking up Thomas Vanek was really a great pickup at the trade deadline, a bona fide score, exactly what this team needed, and I think it's going to be great. And you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to be fickle. I'm fickle. I'm fickle many times. So you're allowed to be fickle. But Thomas Vanek became a Blue Jackets hero last night for the way that he played. And I had a chance to catch up with him right after the game.
You're part of the team, but are you really part of the team until you score a goal, especially when you've been a scorer throughout your entire career?
Well, I think so. I hope so. I mean, again, it's always tough to get that first one out of the way, you know, especially, you know, you want to contribute and stuff. But, again, it's I've been through it before, and it takes – you know, a good week to get used to your surroundings and everyone and comfortable. And I think last game I settled in and I thought it was a lot better. I thought we, as a line, we played good and we carried it over tonight.
Well, not only did you get your first, but you got your first and second. And darn near got your third with this team all in the same game. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, again, I thought as a line, we like I said, I go back to last game because, you know, we didn't get rewarded. But I thought we played a good game, 5-5, and we just kind of talked about it to carry it over, and I thought we did tonight.
You know, you played with a lot of good centermen in this league. And as you get that chemistry with Alexander Wennberg, that's the one that John Tortorella said he was hoping you guys could start to work together. What are you seeing out of him?
Well, again, it's every center is different. So, again, the last 5 games or whatever, I'm trying to read him as much as I can on the ice. And I'm trying to figure out his patterns of when I enter the zone with the puck, when he enters it, what he likes to do. And I think it's slowly getting better.
And at least with the other guy on that line, you don't have to think about anything. He's straight line to the net, Boone Jenner.
Oh, he's a great power forward. Again, I think he brings a great net presence when I'm not there, and great in the corners, and got some hands too, and a great little shot there he had.
You don't get the win in regulation, begin into overtime and get it done. Does it really matter at this point? It's just about getting it done, isn't it?
Well, not against this team. You know, it's a team out west, so it doesn't matter. We'll take the 2 anyways, but we got to learn how to. Again, I've only been here for 5 games, but we have had a few 2-goal leads here, and then we got to, you know, learn as a team here quickly of how to handle those and then be better.
What Thomas Vanek just said right there at the end, I think, is going to be extremely important. He started to talk about how the team needs to learn how to close out games. Then he very quickly caught himself and said, well, I've only been here for a couple of games. Well, that is very true, Thomas, but you've been in this league for a long time. You know what it takes, and you know how to talk to young players to help them to be educated as to what it takes to be able to close out games like that. So, again, the Blue Jackets didn't have a lot of that veteran presence throughout most of the year, but they did pick some up at the trade deadline with Thomas Vanek and Ian Cole and Mark Letestu. And I think that's going to be as important as the skills that they bring to the ice, quite frankly. I think the experience that they bring is just as important, the off-the-ice experience and the mental challenges and how to handle them. I think that experience is going to be just as valuable as what they bring on the ice. So big night for Thomas Vanek and Alexander Wennberg and Boone Jenner, that entire line. And head coach John Tortorella talked about them after the game.
Jenner, Wennberg, Vanek would get going. Magic words from you, or how do they get going? What do they
I don't know. Like I said, we don't know. I'm hoping it works. Jen's job. He's going to chase down pucks. I just wanted to see if Thomas and Winnie can get going. And I thought one of the best plays that Winnie made, and Winnie made a number of good plays tonight, not just with Vans, but throughout the game, was that backhand. He makes a pass to Thomas when Thomas goes to the net. It's not a goal, but it's just a great play. It would have been his third one. Where Vanek's hanging out in the high slot. He gives Winnie a chance just to get control, and you can see they're in sync there. And Thomas is one of the better players in the league getting to the net. I mean, that's where he plays a lot of his game. So, yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy it worked for them because then it solidifies things a little bit. So hopefully they can keep it going.
John, they're starting to see some good signs here, but I would have to think one of them is Werenski. Looks like his game, especially in the offensive end, is really rounding into form.
Yeah, you score. I think that's 3 goals in 4 games. That's always going to help him. He's a young man that has had some struggles this year, trying to stay consistent with his game and just feeling good about it. He cares. I think when you have the care that he has and things aren't working out that well for him and a little bit of a slump, it really affects the other parts of his game. So hopefully this will just ease him up and we're just trying to let him play.
That's Blue Jackets head coach John Tortorella. And yes, when Zach Werenski gets going, that is not just a good thing. That's a great thing for this team. And Werenski is much happier right now. A lot bigger smiles for him in that dressing room since he has started to get his offensive game back on track. And I had a chance to catch up with him after last night's game.
Big goal for Zach here tonight. They start to come in bunches, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I guess when you're cold, and you're hot, so I'm hot right now, so if they keep it going.
Yeah, this is a good time to get hot, not just you, but a lot of guys on this team. You know, you're over a week past the trade deadline, over a week since you have your team that you know you're going to have the rest of the way. Is this thing starting to gel right now?
Yeah, for sure. I think we're really comfortable with our lineup. I think guys like Vanek are getting more comfortable with the team. You saw what he did tonight for us, making plays, scoring big goals. So I'm excited moving forward here.
How important was it to get a third win, that elusive third win in a row that you guys have had a couple of chances at and couldn't get?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, as of late, we've been looking at who's behind us in the standings. But right now, we should be looking at who's in front of us and trying to catch them. We're playing good hockey right now. And, you know, I think we should just, you know, worry about climbing the standings and, you know, trying to get, you know, the best seed we can for playoffs.
And I wanted to ask you about that because, you know, people's mindset is to talk about who's coming up from behind. But as you said, you get some help tonight. You're now right there behind New Jersey. They lose. Philly loses. Right back in the middle of this thing again.
Yeah, for sure. You know, like I said, we got to look in front of us and try and catch some teams. The way we're playing right now, I don't think it'll be too hard if we keep this up.
It's almost like Zach Werenski was listening to yesterday's show when I said the very same thing. Stop looking over your shoulder. Stop looking at what's coming up behind you. Start looking ahead because those teams are very catchable. And with the New Jersey Devils losing last night, with the Philadelphia Flyers losing last night, here come the Blue Jackets because they are now just 1 point behind New Jersey. New Jersey in the first wild card spot with 76 points. The Blue Jackets in the second spot with 75 points. Florida got a win too, and they're still right there, and they still have their 3 games in hand, and they have 73 points. But the Philadelphia Flyers, all of a sudden, starting to lose some games. They have got 79 points in that guaranteed position of third place. Top 3 seeds in each division are guaranteed a playoff spot. So Philly's got the guarantee, but they're slipping. Blue Jackets are sitting just 4 points behind them right now. And don't forget, the two teams have a head-to-head in Philadelphia next week. Now, who knows what happens between now and then? We'll have to wait and see, but the Blue Jackets are getting back into it. New Jersey is on the slide. Philadelphia maybe starting to slide a little bit. Florida Panthers are still coming. But the Blue Jackets have to stay right there with them and make sure that, at the very least, that it's the Blue Jackets and the Panthers that are in when it's all said and done. Pittsburgh's atop the division by 1 point. Washington got a win. So they've got 81 points, 1 behind Pittsburgh, 2 ahead of Philadelphia. You know, you want to look at it that way, too. The Blue Jackets are now just 6 points behind the Washington Capitals for second place in this division. And now when you start to win a number of games in a row and you start to accumulate points, now you can look at that and say, well, you know what? If you can just win a couple of more, now you're threatening that team. Very true. It's absolutely true. And it wasn't very many days ago it looked like all hope was lost. And that's the beauty of the NHL season. That's the beauty of being in it and having a chance. It's going to change on a daily basis, for sure. There are going to be, you know, there are going to be victorious days, there are going to be heartbreaking days, no doubt about it. But as long as you're riding the seesaw, right? As long as you're not standing on the other side of the playground watching everybody else ride the seesaw, as long as you're on it, then that's a good thing. So it's a big win for the Blue Jackets last night. The Avalanche, by the way, with that point that they got, helped them briefly. But then the LA Kings wound up getting a win and going back ahead of Colorado for the final wild card spot in the West. So the Kings with 79 points, sit one ahead of the Avalanche, who has 78. So the point helped them, but it did not help them enough. Blue Jackets are back on home ice tonight. The Detroit Red Wings come to town, and the Red Wings played last night, and they were shut out by the Vegas Golden Knights. So you have two teams that are playing a back-to-back. That makes it fair, for sure. It's a very short flight for the Detroit Red Wings, but they had to travel nonetheless. So with that, I ask you a question. Actually, the question has nothing to do with that. I'm going to talk more about the Red Wings. But my question is, when's the last time that you wrote a paper check to pay for something? Forget about a checking account. It's time to stop checking around. Telhio Credit Union has a brand new account for you. It's built for your digital financial lifestyle, and it's called the Telhio My Life account. And with that, you have access to a chip-enabled fuel tank with digital DNA for your busy life. Is that all too confusing to you? You don't understand what I'm talking about? Well, it's easy to get more information that is more understandable than me talking to you. All you have to do is go to telhio.org. There you can find out about the My Life account, and you can open one today. Telhio is open to all in Central and Southwest Ohio, and they are federally insured by NCUA. So tonight, the Blue Jackets will be taking on the Detroit Red Wings, blanked last night 4-0 by the Vegas Golden Knights. And that was, as I just said, that was in Detroit. So the Blue Jackets will face the Red Wings again. The last time they saw them was, I believe, in Little Caesars Arena, in the game that went to the overtime where Sergei Bobrovsky stopped a couple of 2-on-0s. And I would expect Bobrovsky to be back in goal tonight for the Blue Jackets. Jimmy Howard started for the Red Wings last night, so good chance you get the backup tonight. Whoever the Blue Jackets get, whatever they do, they have to make the most of it this evening. They just absolutely have to make the most of it. They've got to get this win. To get this one tonight and make it 4 in a row and not have another game until Monday would be huge for this club. Absolutely huge. And hopefully they're able to get the job done. The other games that are on tap tonight, Calgary is playing at Ottawa. Anaheim is in Dallas. Vancouver is at home taking on Minnesota as well. I should tell you a little bit more about the Detroit Red Wings. You know a lot of the usual suspects, but this is a team that is not in playoff contention right now. And they are still led by Henrik Zetterberg. He's got 44 points on the year. Anthony Mantha, he's got 41 points, 23 goals for him. And where is good old Dylan Larkin? I know he is always right there doing some great things, and he is. He's only got 9 goals this year, but he has 40 assists. So Zach Werenski's best buddy's got 49 points coming into this game tonight. On the back end, Mike Green leads the way. This is a guy that a lot of people thought would be traded before the deadline. He's got 31 points off the blue line, so he is going to generate some offense from there. So the Blue Jackets cannot take this team lightly. It doesn't matter that they're not in the playoffs. As Jody Shelley put it to me the other day, and he's absolutely right, because the Blue Jackets have been in this spot. When you're not going to the postseason, sometimes you just like to be a wrecking ball for the guys that are going to the postseason and try to mess up what's going on with them. And that's what the Red Wings will be looking to do tonight at Nationwide Arena. By the time I get to that, it'll be my third game of the day. No, seriously. The OHSAA State Ice Hockey Tournament is going on, high school ice hockey tournament going on at Nationwide Arena. They're in the Final Four, and I'm going to be there early today, 10 o'clock in the morning, the first game, as it's going to be Toledo, St. Francis de Sales taking on University School in game number one. Game number two has St. Ignatius out of Cleveland taking on the hometown Dublin Jerome Celtics from here in Columbus. That'll be at 12:30 today, Friday, March the 9th. And then the championship game will be tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock. Jody Shelley and I are going to work all of those games on TV, too, believe it or not. Yes, this Face Made for Radio is going to be on TV with Jody Shelley. We're going to do all of those games. It's fun. I enjoy making those calls for these high school kids that have worked so hard to get to this level. And I think it's great that this championship game, or the semifinals and the finals, played right here at Nationwide Arena on the home of the NHL's Blue Jackets on their home ice. So it's great for the other kids around the state to get a chance to come in to this building and play. I know a good many of the kids on the Dublin Jerome team. They've played with my son throughout the course of the last couple of years, which means I'm getting old because I've watched these kids grow up from the time they've been, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years old. So it's exciting. It's exciting all around. And I look forward to working with Jody and doing those games. I look forward to a big weekend. As I said, 2 semifinals today. Blue Jackets game tonight, and then tomorrow we'll do the state championship game. Also tomorrow night, Ohio State and Michigan are playing at Nationwide Arena, and I know that's a big deal for Zach Werenski. He still has many friends on that Michigan team. He's going to go to that game. And so, again, it's a big weekend for all. The Blue Jackets don't play Saturday or Sunday, but that doesn't take away the fact that it is a big hockey weekend in Columbus. But tonight, the Blue Jackets and the Red Wings get underway at 7 o'clock. Pre-game coverage starts at 6:45 on the Blue Jackets radio network, which includes the flagship station 97.1 The Fan in Columbus. You can also get the game at BlueJackets.com and on your phone by using the Blue Jackets app. Red Wings in town tonight. Till then, I'm Bob McElligott saying so long.